Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Now get two sausage McMuffin with egg sandwiches for just $5. That's right, $5. And with many locations opening at 5 a.m. or earlier, your morning starts when you do. Order ahead on the app, skip the wait, and grab your breakfast on your schedule. It's mornings made better at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. Must opt into rewards.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Off the ball.
Rugby.
Obviously, it's a shocking refereeing decision.
The other thing is, well, I don't know if anyone picked up on the Bulls' first try.
Did no one mention the quick tap taken off your man's knee?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Yeah, what's that coming over the hill? It's Constitution Hill and a new jockey as well for the Punchestown Festival. This news has just come in over the last hour or so, and I'm delighted to be joined by Tom Bugsy Malone on the Racing Pod and Off the Ball today to discuss this, to discuss another bone winning the Irish National, and to discuss the climax of the Trainers' Championship in Sandown tomorrow after a cracking racing actually in Sandown today, Friday, which will happen after we record this. First half of the pod every week is free to air, and the second half is exclusively for members. We will get Tom's charity bet as well. We'll talk to Sam Norris from William Hill about the Trainers' Championship, Punchestown, Constitution Hill, and obviously some good action actually as well on the flat at Navan. But be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. You won't want to miss out on all of the info. And the info we have, and that everyone has, Bugsy, he's coming to Punchestown.
It's magic, isn't it? It's absolutely magic, because I feel like Punchestown this year has just been a little bit of a hostage to the calendar. You know, just the way Fairy House lay, and we had such a brilliant weekend last weekend at Fairy House. Now, this weekend, we're going to have this incredible climax to the Trainers' Championship, which I suppose, you know, if State Man hadn't fallen at the last, it wouldn't even be a discussion, really, would it? But, you know, it's brilliant. It's brilliant for Punchestown. It's brilliant for racing. It's actually good for Constitution Hill as well. I think he has more doubters to silence than he ever had before. And it'd just be brilliant to see him. You know, that Friday at Punchestown is such a great day. Like, it's a party atmosphere anyway. It's one of the, you know, it's as wild a day in Irish racing as you're going to get. It's generally a younger crowd. It's a party crowd.
Are we
it's
that
the
anymore?
End of the season.
We're not that
I
anymore,
don't think
no.
we are.
No.
Well, I don't think we are, Johnny. I don't think we are. I mean, having been at Fairy House on Monday, no, we definitely are not.
I did have a moment yesterday, walk back into the house and... just as I left the door open for my son and partner to come in shortly after me, because, my partner, but I came in with my son. But anyway, the door was left open and I just saw a big load of dog poo was just left on the door, right? It was just left by the door and dog had just walked by, right? But the dog appeared to be just in the company of a couple of kids. And I was like, am I now that middle-aged guy who's given out to kids for doing something that kids do? They just, I don't know, they just walked off, but they were kind of, I guess they were a bit sheepish about it. And for that moment, there was a kind of a Curb Your Enthusiasm type. Am I morphing into, you know, that man? Am I basically
that guy?
Am I that guy?
You're that guy.
And then
are you throwing a text into the neighborhood watch, you know, the neighborhood watch WhatsApp
thankfully
group?
I'm not in the neighborhood WhatsApp group. Middle class Dublin neighbourhood WhatsApp groups are no place to be for anyone, really. But I buried my pride. I went in and got some toilet roll and I did the needful or whatever. But there was that moment where I was like, was I going to be giving out to kids for something that I probably would have, done when I was a kid?
Yeah, it's a tough moment, isn't it? It's a tough moment. Well, I have my very own senior moment yesterday morning when Milo got jocked up on Platino Bianco.
Milo is your son.
Milo is my son, yeah. So he had a very senior moment when Milo got jocked up on Platino Bianco for the opening race at Navan on Saturday. So that was quite the moment there for me.
Oh, my God.
I remember when he was riding ponies or a baby, and now he's a 16-year-old apprentice about to have his first ride in public. So,
you didn't even tell me. Yeah. You didn't even tell. Like, this is the highlight of the show, and you'll probably have to wait on the members for the rest of the second half of the show. We're just going to talk about Milo. Tell me about this Milo Malone, one of the most marketable names known to man and woman. He starts his riding career at Navan tomorrow.
Yeah. He's an apprentice with Chris Timmons. So he was due to get a spin early on the season, but the horse he was due to ride, just the ground went against him. So, Platino Bianco will be his first ride. Opening race at Navan over 5 furlongs tomorrow. Drawn 1, claiming 7 in an apprentice race. I hope it'll be a really nice experience for him.
That's absolutely magic. Congratulations to you all. I knew Milo as a fresh-faced kid, and I haven't seen him in about 3 feet, I'd say. He's grown that much since. Absolute magic. So if you're keeping an eye out for that, the 140 at Navan tomorrow, number 9 will be ridden by Milo Malone, claiming 7, and goes from gate 1 for Chris Timmons, first start in 174 days. An absolutely magic, magic moment as a father, which rather puts my anecdote into the halfpenny place, really.
I thought I'd leave it as a little surprise for you, because I thought, we get the real reaction. It's great. Look, obviously, you've often given out to me in the past, and he's like, what are you doing getting your kids into ponies? Or like, are you insane? I definitely, when I saw that go up on the Ross site on Thursday morning, it definitely took me a moment to look back through a few pictures of him, amazing, riding ponies or in pony camp and pony club and, cantering along the beach on a little fat black pony and, moving on to this. It's been a fun journey.
We've loads to get through. Let's talk Fairy House. So we had Haiti Couleur winning the Irish National. Tom Malone said he felt a little bit older at it because it was a young crowd there. Big crowd on the Monday. I was actually in Mallow the same day. Good crowd in Mallow as well. Magic scenes in Mallow with Alan and Maxine O'Sullivan riding winners. One of them in the race that honoured Jack Tyner. Meanwhile at Fairy House, hashtag why don't we have more British runners over here?
Yeah. And like, if anything, I suppose one thing we would have criticised in the run to Cheltenham was the role of the National Hunt Chase. Now the role of the National Hunt Chase is the absolutely ideal prep for the Irish Grand National. And, a prize fund that's more than 5 times it as well. So, absolutely brilliant. Great ride. It didn't all go to plan, because just before the race, Haiti Couleur, I'd say he drifted massively, because if you were there on track and you looked around, he got really hot and bothered. He got very much on his toes. He was in a lather of sweat just before they got going. And even in the post-race interviews, Sean Bowen suggested that he was a little bit worried. But my goodness, once you could call him the winner from about the third fence. It was just very clear that he was not for catching. He got into a beautiful rhythm early, jumped and stayed, and looks really, really progressive, and definitely a graded horse for next year, and a potential already live contender for the Aintree Grand National, depending on how he handles a slightly better surface. But he seems relatively he seems okay on a variety of surfaces. He's won on heavy. The going certainly wasn't as soft as I expected it to be at Fairy House on Sunday and Monday. We had an enormous amount of rain in this area, and particularly Tuesday, Wednesday and Friday beforehand. And obviously we'd racing postponed on Saturday and was moved to Tuesday. But geez, the ground held up really, really well over the weekend. And it wasn't nearly as soft as I was expecting. But yeah, 80 Couleur, brilliant performance. And, well done to Rebecca Curtis as well, because she sent over a box full too. You know what I mean? If you're coming over for one, you may as well bring over 5 or 6. And, I don't think the rest of them ran brilliantly, but like still, it probably helps you if you're a trainer with 4 or 5 horses and the staff. Like, you have other things to do rather than sit there and worry about this one big horse in this one big race that doesn't go to post till 5 o'clock on Easter Monday and you're out for the whole weekend. Like, but yeah, great, great performance. I think it's brilliant for the race as well. You know, Willie Mullins has had brilliant records recently in that race and in Grand Nationals generally. And I'd say it was probably good for Fairy House not to have Willie Mullins win it and to have a British raider come and do it and just let Rebecca Curtis, in the scheme of things in the UK and the size of trainers, very small, and just to go and see her do it and just show, like, here, guys, come on over here. There's big prize money in these big races. Go get it.
We also had the story of the 25-year-old stable lad from Dungarvan and Dylan Phelan, who placed 30-year-old each-way bet with Ladbrokes. This story's been doing the rounds. Actually, on the Irish Independent was, I think, the top story that day, even after the death of the pontiff. It was kind of one of these stories that people latched onto. It transpires, as often is the case in this, and I do a bit of work for the same bookmaker myself, so I'm not apt to talk much about it. It transpires, I think there's a bit more to it than meets the eye, but one thing about this, Bugsy, is... And I noted this even on a podcast I was on earlier this week. There's massive interest in these stories. Like, there really is. It's like where essentially what happened here was Dylan Phelan, who was a stable employee of the Declan Queeley yard, backed, he did 30-year-old each-way double on two horses just over a year ago. Who both won, showed dramatically improved form, were both well backed, and it was a really nice, it's essentially a bit of a job. Like, now, for two horses to do this in two maiden hurdles is really, really difficult. Both of them won, they won well, but Dylan is waiting a year later. He hasn't been paid, and you know, Ladbrokes haven't said much on it, but we'll see what happens. And there's an ongoing investigation, I think, from the IHRB into the winning of the race themselves, even though there's nothing suggested about untoward stuff or whatever. But yeah, the kid hasn't been paid yet, is basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and like, the real loser here is just going to be kind of, you know, the bookmaking industry and its reputation, isn't it? Like, just, you know, this is an opportunity. It's just how you narrate this. Like, you remember the guy a couple of years ago, and he worked for Nicky Henderson, Murphy's his name, and he won $1 million and, like, went off and he set up a training establishment in America. Like, I mean, he should have been paid over $3 million on that bet off the top of my head. And just because Bet365 made a big song and dance about it, I was like, oh, wow, look at this. This is fantastic. It was one of the best news stories ever. And yeah, Bet365 looked great. Here's Ladbrokes now, where they could have just gone and said, oh, God, it's a sickener. Just pay this guy. In the grand scheme of things for Ladbrokes, this is absolute chump change. So why not just go make a big song and dance about it, present the guy with a big check and say, oops, sorry. Dragging it out just looks so bad. I mean, who wins from dragging this out and going, oh, we need to wait for an IHRB investigation? But saying things like that, all you do is invite more criticism. And you're like, well, what about all the other bets who are stuck in the race? Were they all settled? Are all the other bets outstanding for the race? Does this mean anyone who had a bet in that race a year ago, are they all going to be voided? Of course they're not. Just move on. It's just such a bad look. It's just... I listen to a lot of podcasts with people who, you know, are sort of, there's a guy called Rory Sutherland. He's kind of one of these kind of talking heads. He's a big advertising head in the UK, and he just talks a lot about how, you know, perception in companies and how you can just, you know, flip the narrative and things so easily. And you just think he hates when accountants run companies, basically, and you do things for reason of, you know, penny pinching or not seeing brand value, even though it might cost money. And this is just, for me, an exact, you know, instance of that. Just pay the guy for a couple of hundred grand, you know, for Ladbrokes. Like I said, if this was some independent bookmaker that was going to put them on their, you know, on their oxers, well, that's different. You know what I mean? Like, if this was some fella in the ring, I'd be feeling pretty bad for the bookmaker. You've been absolutely cleaned out for six figures. For Ladbrokes, I don't feel bad, you know, and they can easily afford this. And like I said, they could easily flip the narrative on this, and they've chosen not to and dug their heels in it. Just, you know, ultimately they're probably going to have to pay, or else they're just going to go down a massive further PR disaster, which they don't need.
Yeah, the little information I have on it, there may be a payout limit issue as well. I was looking at this bet, by the way, should not have been taken. You shouldn't take a 30 quid each way bet on 200 to 1 shots, whatever the price was, with that liability. But sometimes, and I've tried this myself, when you're trying to get a sneaky bet over the counter, like sometimes, you know, the cashier might be busy, and, you know, I used to have this habit. If I were told, like, we have a plot job on here and say the 5 o'clock, or it was a dog race, I would go in, I'd have a pint, right? And then I'd come into the bookies and make it look like I was basically kind of betting away, and, like, you know, having a few bets here and there, having a couple of drinks, and they're like, this lad's... And then by the time I actually had the bet, the bet I really intended to have, they kind of weren't even looking at me anymore, because they're like, this lad is just...
Yeah.
You know, that sort of way.
Yeah, and, have a couple of muggy dog bets. Yeah, or whatever.
And, you know, like, we love these stories as well. Like, and obviously, like, you know, the Irish Rugby absolutely has to look into this. The horse has showed dramatically improved form. We don't have anyone on from the relevant bookmaker here to tell you exactly what happened, because we don't know the full story about the collection and all of that, but it did show one thing to me. People love these stories. There really was a massive interest in it, and as much as we're obviously here to talk about racing, I still love the day I might be working at the races and nothing is happening, and all of a sudden there's a big gamble from out of nowhere, and it just makes everything more interesting. As Patrick Cavanagh would say, wallow in the habitual and the banal, particularly when the habitual and the banal involves 200 to 1 shots, one of whom I watched in the flesh winning, landing a touch within a half an hour of each other for the same yard, somewhat out of the blue, and bookmakers always have to be on guard. Right, just before we do get to Sandra.
Just one other thing on that. If you're a bookmaker, right, and someone has a couple of quid on a 100 to 1 shot on a maiden hurdle, like, you're counting that money before the race is even run, nine times out of ten.
Yes.
Aren't
yes.
you?
Yes, yes.
Like, you know, how many times does anything bigger than 6 or 7 to 1 win a maiden hurdle in Ireland? It just doesn't happen. Like, so, you know, I don't think you can really blame the shop staff going, geez, there's a 30 each way double there on what? A couple of maiden hurdles. That's lost.
Like, Dylan made a good point as well in one of his interviews, where he said, like, well, I mean, it was a 2-horse book, like, it was 9-2 on, one of the favourites had win, basically, and obviously those bets lost, nobody was backing them each way, so Ladbrokes copped every bet on the favourite and second favourite. If we are second half show, I'm really looking forward to. We're going to really go deep into Sandown. We look at Navan as well, good card at Navan on the flat, where promising kid actually makes his debut in the first race. But the Constitution Hill thing is great. I don't criticise jockeys in general. I don't feel I have the right to criticise them. Or certainly I do it rarely. I don't think Nico de Boinville's had a great year on Constitution Hill. I think that's putting it mildly. You know, to fall once is obviously unfortunate, kind of paraphrasing Oscar Wilde here, but, like, to fall twice and get into traffic, and now he obviously isn't riding a Punchtown, and so we have this stable switch. Well, there's a lot going on in terms of what a race is going to be, and the will of the Irish public as well. The Irish public will want this horse to win.
I think so. Look, the Nico de Boinville thing has been overplayed for me a little bit. He's not given the horse great rides. I actually don't think he's kind of at fault for at least one of the falls.
Yeah.
He was more at fault when the horse didn't fall in Cheltenham the day. That was terrible. He asked him from the wings, and the horse was like, what? He just, you know, like, that was terrible. I don't blame him for the fall the last time, but I do blame him for getting into the position he got into in the run-up to the fall. That was horrendous. Like, you know, that's just bad riding. I'm not saying, and, like, for me, if horses are not communicating well with the riders, there's an issue there. Like, I'm not saying Nico de Boinville is giving the horse the stones or anything like that, but, like, you probably need to freshen something up where the horse and the jockey are not getting on great. And it would seem to me, in those situations, that's what's happened. I don't even want to go and, like, lay into Nico de Boinville. Poor lad's in hospital. Like, he's had an awful time of things.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's had a rough season, you know, and he's getting it from every direction. But it probably might not be the worst thing in the world. Different jockey gets on board, and let's see what happens. You know, like, he's still going to have to take on Stateman on kind of home ground, and, you know, whatever else Woody might throw in against him too. So he won't have it all his own way. But for Punchestown, for Irish racing, for Irish race fans, this is absolutely brilliant. And the fact that there is a little change or something different happening adds a layer of intrigue to the story as well. You know, there will be pressure on James Bowen. I mean, he's not a kid or anything like it. He's plenty of experience. But, you know, he doesn't have that kind of big race pressure of riding a, you know, supposed all-timer in a grade one on foreign soil. It's a rare situation for him to be in. So there's an element of that too, but I just think it all adds to it, all adds to Punchestown, and is the only one place to be next week.
There's only one place to be tomorrow, really, and that is Sandown, unless you're obviously Milo Malone's dad, you want to go to Navan. It is a good flat card at Navan. Now, Navan is quite low-key in terms of flat racing because it's kind of national and country, but yeah, like, a bit like Mallow, it's quiet for flat racing. Excellent flat track in many respects, and really good racing tomorrow. But we will touch on, before we wrap up this half of the show, what are you looking forward to very briefly at Sandown? And we will get one selection for you from you as well.
Yeah, look, obviously there's a big one to come at the Bet365 Gold Cup, that handicap. Fascinating how Willie sends those horses back out. I'd be really interested in how Dancing City gets on here. Intriguing jockey booking. John Joneal Jr. lands an absolutely plum ride there. Paul Townend sticks with High Class Hero. But geez, I'd love the chance of Dancing City in that race. But like, it's just brilliant. I just love what Willie Mullins has done at Sandown. And like, you know, he's sending Energamine and Elite Tomp on his seasonal kind of debut as well to take on John Bond, like pick up a nice bit of prize money there. Even if they finish second and third, that'll do a good bit of damage there. So, really, really looking forward to it. And of course, like Mark Walsh riding John Bond. I mean, it's just you're talking about moves and jockeys and things that will happen. You know, there's been chat about Harry Compton moving over here a bit and riding more in Ireland. He does think if there was a cross the water jockey switch to happen, you would think it should be Mark Walsh to ride more in the UK, wouldn't it? Like, he's an assassin. I think he's an absolute gun. Can't get enough of him. I think he's brilliant. And good to see him get a ride in John Bond the weekend.
Give us your selection, so for everyone listening for the weekend.
Okay, simple selection. I'm going with the tried and trusted, tested of Just Pick a Winner, and I'll go with Charles Darwin at Navan in the maiden, the second race of the day there at Navan.
Yeah, you're evolving with every day, Bugsy, and we have to conclude by mentioning Milo again, and just to wish you the best. Like, you know, you talk about those times as a kid when you probably couldn't sleep ahead of Santa Claus, or you know, you're playing a big cup final. But Milo, what a night! Trying to get to sleep tonight, and that magic of the stalls opening tomorrow, and it all begins. Really, really looking forward to seeing him. This is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we're leaving you here. If you are looking for more, including our analysis of additional races at Sandown and Navan this weekend, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast every Friday with our racing tips, insight and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.